7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Happy Sunday, Croc Nation. Dr. Tommy and Ellie here with you with another amazing Croc podcast to help you get through your survivorship. Angel Santana, have faith, let it begin on the other side of that computer glass. Angel, I understand you just got back from vacation.
Ooh, it was fun. I had a good time. Got a little sun. Went to the Mystic Seaport. Went to Legoland, New York. Highly recommend all those places. And yes, I am back. And look, we got some pretty cool colors for those that aren't watching yet on our YouTube channel. We got the orange and black attack.
We have the red and the black.
That's orange.
Okay. I don't have very good color sense, but okay. I believe you. So, Angel, you mentioned vacation. Actually, I said vacation, and then you jumped in. We are on a module called Reclaiming Normal, and one of our episodes was on vacations. Mm-hmm. And we talked about work environment. We talked about what else did we do? We did work. We did vacations. We had done exercise. And today we're going to talk about something a little racy. We're going to be talking about your survivorship and reclaiming your normal dating life. I got your laugh because, as many of you know, Angel has his own podcast, which I would recommend very highly for inspiration and for spirituality, as well as a few laughs. And he has a segment called Crazy Date Stories. So imagine taking those crazy date stories, Angel, and throwing on a heaping of cancer survivorship. Dating is already crazy enough. So what are your thoughts for that?
I'm intrigued because God knows I am not the expert. So I want to make sure everybody's aware of that. I was never an expert on dating as I went through the 0-83 record. But I do believe it's something that needs to be done. It's a great social outlet and it's a great opportunity for you to interact with people.
Actually, that's a really nice point, Angel. 0-83 is not just a small spring slump. That's up there.
That's to put it lightly, right?
Yeah. Well, I was 0 for college. So if that means anything, so, you know, it is what it is. But getting back to the point and getting more serious, because our survivors, you know, this is a very charged topic, and we're going to break the podcast in this actual subject into two parts. So we're going to just be talking about dating today. And then next week, we're going to be talking a little bit more toward intimacy. So believe it or not, intimacy, you know, people kind of equate sex with intimacy. And that's actually not true. I mean, it is true, but it's not true. Many intimate things are far more touching and lasting than just the act of having sex. So dating is a very, very difficult environment. It's stressful. And now you take a cancer survivor who has gone through perhaps body disfigurement, toxic therapies, changes to their body parts. Some of them, the more, you know, the body parts that you know, might mean something in dating for attractiveness to the, you know, to whatever gender it is that you're trying to, you know, attract. And now you add the psychological difficulties and complexities, all of that self-image, self-doubt, lack of confidence, and just not feeling like yourself. But everybody in your family, everybody in your circles are pushing you out into the real world, and you want to reclaim normal, which is obviously the subject of our module. So you can imagine, Angel, going 0-83, how difficult it would be to add just another layer of issue.
Absolutely. The pressure must be intense. And not only that, the insecurity. Already,
right, like insecurity. That was the word I was searching for. But basically, we were talking about body changes and concerns about dating. Now, forget about sex. We'll talk about that next week. But just the way you relate to a person that you want to date with. or want to go on a date with. And as you struggle to accept the changes because you're not the same person that you were, you may also worry about how someone else will react to you. Say a woman who's had a mastectomy, a man who has had a prostatectomy, someone who might have an ostomy, you know, a young woman who is infertile, or a man who's infertile because of cancer treatments. These are all huge, huge, huge concerns for the cancer survivor. And we're going to start by giving you some tips. Not that Angel and I, as we said, are experts in this, but we have found experts and we have read about experts. And we're going to distill in a very short podcast what some of the things are. Now, they mention by working on other aspects of your social life. So say you're done with your therapy, you're done with your treatments, and you're basically dealing with the new you. And you want to date, you would like to have companionship from a partner, right? We have to be very inclusionary, right, Angel? We can't say members of the opposite gender, right? Because it may not be that. You may be looking for same gender, you know, same gender companionship.
Absolutely. And
yeah, completely wonderful. But it's scary. So what the experts are recommending is start working on other areas of your social life other than dating. So make an effort to start getting bonds back with your family. We had done a family module. I'm sorry, a family episode. Start expanding visits with your friends, your long-term friends, and then try a new activity or an old activity, join a club, take a class, be in social circumstances where you might be meeting people and let them, you know, again, no stress. This is like, I think what with kids, what we try to do is we try to let kids start getting working in packs, right? So at first your kids are kind of, you know, very, very polarized. So the boys will play with the boys, the girls will play with the girls. And then they reach their bubbling hormones and they start running around in packs, right? So boys and girls together, doing their silly gesticulating and all those crazy things they do. The boys doing wheelies on their bicycles and preening themselves and all that stuff. So that's like kind of a pack thing. But then, you know, people then, you know, hook up and split aside. But just being in that social situation, being in a pack, like get back to your adolescence and, you know, do something that's completely non-threatening, you know, it has nothing to do with dating. That'll be the first step. The other thing is they mentioned this, actually, I'm going to say this. And I don't know if I agree with this. I think this might be first. I think you should take stock first, even before doing that or being social. Or joining a club or whatever, I think you should take stock of your good points and focus on who you are. You know, forget about that mastectomy, forget about the prostatectomy, forget about the ostomy, forget about everything. And just try to reconnect with the person that you are in here, that soul, that spirit that you are. And really, you could even write things down. I'm a big journal person. I write things everywhere, but I see my kids taking notes on their phone. I'm an old fashioned, you know, walk around with a binder or a book and keep writing notes and things. You know, write down your good points. Angel, you're not a cancer survivor, but you're an amazing person. Say before you met Rachel, if you and I were friends, you know, you are just a funny, smart, loyal, interesting, articulate, caring, compassionate, empathetic person. You have so many amazing points that had I been friends with you when you were going through your O and 83, you know, I would have been able to find ways of making you feel good about yourself instead of probably feeling bad about yourself. And I think that's really important for our survivors. You know, it's always nice to hear from a friend or a family member or whatever, but you need to know who you are and you need to believe who you are. So I think that that really should be number one before even making any attempt to be social. Remember who you are and what your value is. We usually do your coach, you know, Newt Rockne speech at the end of the podcast, telling you guys how amazing and awesome you are, but maybe now is a better time to do it as it fits into the theme of today's episode. You are awesome. You are amazing. You are a very valuable, important, legitimate, you know, member of our human race. And we are glad to have you. No matter what cancer has done to you, it can't take those things away from you. So we want, Angel and I want you to know that. The other thing, Angel, and it says, try not to let cancer be an excuse for not dating. Well, that's fine, but you may not want to date. So, you know, when you're ready, then come to this podcast. You know, go do all the other podcasts of Reclaiming Normal. And then when you're ready, which is a week from now, a day from now, an hour from now, or a year from now, or a decade from now, then come back to this podcast. But be ready. You don't have to do anything for anyone else. Do it for yourself. Angel, tell me what you think about this, because I don't agree with this. Do not tell a new date about cancer right away. Wait till you feel a sense of trust and friendship, but do not wait until you're about to become intimate. I don't know if I like that. You know, I think that a person should be like, this is who I am. I mean, it's part of who you are. I mean, I know you don't want to tell someone everything, you know, if you're just going out on a date, but I mean, if there's anyone worth being with, they're not going to care whether you have cancer or don't have cancer. If there's anyone who really, if that's a game breaker, what do they call those? If that's a, that's a game breaker, they call them game breaker. That's not the kind of person you're going to, that's not the kind of person that you're going to want to be with.
I would say it's more of a, like, it's a game changer. They call it a chain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's a red flag. You know, look, it's a hard statement to follow up on because, you know, I'm from myself, we're looking at it from the non-cancer point of view. And I know where this, but I'm just trying to see, you know, in reality, it's really the same, but yet very different. I know that sounds kind of crazy when I say it like that, but let me explain. When I was going through my phase, it's because I was very insecure about the way, again, we're talking about body image and everything and all the things that I felt were wrong with me, right? Now we're talking about a person who is dealing with something that is legitimately is happening. Maybe it's something visual. Maybe it's something internal. It's something inside of you. When you add those features on top of your own insecurities, it makes it difficult. So it's hard to put that into perspective, but it is very important to say what you just said. You have to remember to think past all those insecurities and remember who you are. Who you were intended to be, who you are intended to be, and why you are here. Because everyone at one point or another is here for a reason. And that's the most important part.
Yeah, absolutely. And what are your thoughts about when to tell the person about your history of cancer?
Well, you know, I think nowadays we're living in an era where everybody wants full disclosure immediately. I think it comes up in conversation. I think if it's somebody that you have, depending on how you were thrown together, so to speak, for the date, I think the first initial things are going to come up, you know, how are you? How are you doing? What have you done with your last 4 years? What are you doing, you know, with yourself? How's life been? It's got to come up. I mean, how could you not bring it up? I mean, even if you tried to hide it, let's just say you did, right? If you try to hide it, how are you going to hide all the doctor's appointments, or how are you going to hide certain features when it comes time to, as we said, that type of intimacy? But the best part of intimacy is the verbal. And that's where you start the foundation. So you should right off the bat be completely and totally honest, because if the person can accept you for who you are right off the gate, you're off on a great start.
Yeah, that's exactly the way I feel, Angel. I agree with that. As far as how to tell somebody, you know, either a prospective person you're interested in and might be interested in you, you might want to also practice how to say it, because there's a way of saying, hey, I have cancer. Because let's face it, you know, the reason for this podcast, the reason why we're here, is to help our survivors deal with a problem that universally, including themselves, and everyone else in the universe thinks they're going to die. And that's the whole point of having this podcast, is to make sure they know that that's not true. Now, we all die. That's one of the unfortunate contracts we have with our creator. We are born, we have a life, whatever amount of time that happens to be, and then we die. with cancer, without cancer, it's irrelevant. We all have to face that mortality. But unfortunately, cancer has a very, very biased view in the sense that you get diagnosed with this disease and your first thought goes to cancer. I'm sorry, it goes to death, and everyone around you, it goes to the same thing. So this has a great impact in the dating world. So you might want to practice how you want to say, hey, by the way, I was diagnosed with stage one breast cancer. I'm a survivor and I'm free of disease right now, but just wanted to let you know that. Or if you have something more serious, something that might be potentially terminal, then you might want to spend a little extra time speaking on how to manage that. And I think that, the severity of your cancer and your treatments and your outcomes and your prognosis will have different implications depending on what part of your dating life you are. You could be 20, and if you happen to have an incurable cancer, that would have different ramifications on someone who might want to date you, as opposed to, say, you're a divorcee and you're 75. And at that point, you're looking for companionship, and it may not mean as much, even if you do have a terminal diagnosis. So you might want to practice, how you want to say that. And there are, sappy movies about this exact subject. Remember Love Story. Remember, let's see, there was Love Story. There was a bunch of different movies. I think there was a Winona Ryder movie with Richard Gere. A
Oh,
bunch of.
Untamed Heart, I believe it's called, is it not?
Yeah, perhaps. And but I mean, obviously movies would take advantage of the heart-wrenching,
Oh, definitely.
backgrounds that our cancer survivors have to deal with on a daily basis. My uncle, just to share a personal story, married his first wife with the knowledge that she had Hodgkin's disease, was in remission. The doctors had requested or had warned them not to get pregnant. And she got pregnant, of course, and then she ended up holding her chemotherapy to give birth to my cousin, and she ended up dying of her Hodgkin's disease. A real, talk about a movie, right? That was real life, and he loved her enough to, not worry about that, and God brought someone new into his life, and he had two more children, and beautiful family and the whole thing, but. This is reality, and this is something that our survivors have to deal with. This is true life. Angel, as far as also not having ridiculous expectations, and I say that with a tongue in cheek, because I think that many people, it's a human reaction. You get really, enamored with someone, and then your mind plays tricks on you, and you have all these fantasies going on in your world, and the date doesn't work out, and then you go home and you say it didn't work out because I have cancer, and they didn't like me because, or they totally turned off as soon as I told them I have cancer, and then that may be true, but don't forget, 0 for 83. I mean, bad dates happen, crazy date stories. You have a series of them. That's just, I think, the definition, the Webster definition of dating is it's not perfect. It's, the people who meet their future spouse and, see them on the street corner and say, I'm going to marry that girl, it happens, but it sure doesn't happen a lot.
Yeah, I agree. And I misspoke a few minutes ago when I said Untamed Heart. Let me just clarify, since we like to get things right on this show. Untamed Heart was with Marissa Tomei and Christian Slater, but it had the same concept as the Richard Gere, Winona Ryder movie. But yeah.
Actually, Angel, that's not true. If there's something that we say that's incorrect on this podcast, we stick by it and we just make it up and we just expect everyone to trust us.
I could just see the comments coming in. That's not the right movie. What you had just spoken about, I call that the shooting yourself down. I have a very good friend who is notorious for that. He shoots himself down before he even gives himself a chance. So for those listening, don't shoot yourself down. You have gone through enough at this point, or going through. Why is it not okay for you to enjoy yourself and have that opportunity to go and socialize and have that moment. I have a good time. Yeah. Are you going to find the one? It's possible. Are you going to find a dud? Yeah, it's very possible. But are you going to have a good time while you're doing it? That is plausible. And it is because you have to go in with the mindset, I can do all things. I know I can do it because I have overcome or am overcoming the most powerful thing that anybody can go through. So they don't just label you a cancer survivor for no reason. You're a survivor, and survivors survive. So go out there and do what you have to do, but make the best out of it, you know, and learn from it. That's the one thing I got out of the 0483. Yes, even though I was going through the worst times and the worst dates, I kept learning and I kept learning and I kept learning, and it eventually put me on the pedestal to learn from all those mistakes to find the right one. So yeah, I mean, I labeled them because I had a journal. So that's why.
Angel, I want to say that, you know, we do such a great job, you and I together, supporting our cancer survivors. And we've actually reduced the number of, you know, guests we've had on recently, because I really trust you and adore you and think you do a great job. But on this particular episode, I absolutely didn't look for anyone else, because if there's anyone who knows the dating scene and has gone through the horrors of the dating scene, it was you. So I knew, and again, that whole part of our podcast where we give our Newt Rockne speech to our cancer survivors, we did it. I did it, and you just did it, and yeah, we don't have to do it again. I do want to ask you to share, you know, because again, you and I are the biggest fans of each other's podcasts. For the Have Faith, Let It Begin, if one of our survivors is starting to go, you know, getting interested about going into the dating scene and wants to kind of hear some funny stories from just someone who's not a survivor talk about crazy date stories to get a few laughs, how would they go about to archive some of your episodes?
You know, it got so popular that now on our website, havefaithletitbegin.com, at the very top, it's got its own tab. So it's under crazy date stories. You just click on there, and it's in numerical order. So you can't miss it. It's literally right there for the taking.
Now, you don't have 83 crazy date stories.
No, I haven't. What happened was, and try to keep this as short as I can. So I had a record of it because I was going through a lot, you know, personally. I was in the middle of a depression due to a breakup, and
yes,
I saw some help, and somebody told me to write things down. It just so happened that I began my journaling when I first started dating, and I didn't realize that, you know, who would ever thought 15, 20 years later when I'm doing a podcast that I share a couple of those funny stories and people want to hear more. So I'm looking through my basement and I find my journals, and that's how I remember. I mean, a lot of them are memorable. Some of them I forgot about, but yeah, that's how they're still there.
Angel, thank you for that. And to our gratitudes, Angel Santana, Have Faith, Let It Begin. You were amazing today as well as always, but today especially. Thanks for saying those great words to our survivors, giving them a real nice uplift to give them the confidence to get out there and, put your heart out there, right? Go for it. Rod Freeman, Small Biz Up, Rod. God bless you. You're such a great man. I say it every week. Anybody out there looking to start a new business, want a website, want to do something, you know, to try to accentuate yourself electronically or social media, Roger Guy, smallbizup.com, I think, Angel. Does that sound right?
I have it right here. Hold on one second. But while we're doing that segment, anyway.
Yeah, while we're doing that, board of directors, we had a really nice meeting, Angel. I'm sorry you missed dinner on Wednesday. Completely understand you just got back from vacation, but we were able to take Alan out to dinner. Alan is a tremendous talent, one of our board members, Alan Thompson. What a story, what a man. Had a stroke recently, and Jane, Sarah, and I took him out for dinner this week, and he looked awesome. Great. He ate great. He spoke great. He moved great. He's using a cane that he wants to probably throw into the fire. But, you know, Alan, if you're listening, please be patient. I think you're making tremendous strides. We need you. We need you to work on our diversity and cancer survivorship series. And I can't wait to get you back full time, bud. Look forward to having dinner with you soon at the next board meeting. To all the rest of the board members, thank you for your talents. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for directing us in trying to make this podcast the best it can be for our survivors. Michael John Benzea, Charlotte Larson, for your generosity and belief in us. And of course, again, we've said this to you guys, both me and Angel. You guys are valuable, worthy people. You are worthy humans. You are worthy creatures of God. You do not have to worry about this dating thing. God will bring the person that's meant to be brought into your life. Just let it happen, and the rest will just, it'll just fall in your lap. And again, on behalf of Angel and everyone else that I spoke of, we wish you, as we wish you always, a long, healthy, happy, and cancer-free life. God bless you. God be with you. Peace.